Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Happy Friday, everyone. Thank you, and we appreciate you listening this early morning, 10 o'clock.
It's not that
Chase,
early.
It's still early, man. Chase, Willie, and yours truly, D. Mace. You know, we came in today, Willie, and
we did.
The suit was like, hey, listen. He pointed at us like, y'all take it. He tapped his helmet. Y'all got this for the beginning.
He had the old
suit duties.
He had the shoulder pushing the phone up against the ear. You know, he's got a pad of paper in one hand. He gave us the points. Like, I got a lot of business. I'm the suit. You guys started.
Here's the thing. This is what we're gonna do. We're on the stream right now. Uh-huh. This is what happens with my job sometimes. Uh-huh. So these are broken headphones.
Oh my goodness.
But this is how I feel right now, okay? That's how I feel right now.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good show today.
But we're going to be fine. Yeah. In the words of Ray Lewis, I am pissed off for great.
Chase is pissed off, everyone. Man, we had a great, great start to the NFL season. We will be talking a lot of Titans today with their upcoming game with the New York Giants.
I like this. D. Mason, this is good.
I love it.
I mean, we had a wonderful game, not necessarily for the Rams, but we saw what can potentially be, a juggernaut in this year's NFL season.
Josh Allen is going to be a problem.
Wow.
Like, that guy is a problem.
He is. I told Willie when he came in, I said, man, listen, I have not seen a team, especially against a good Rams team, I have not seen a team that moved the ball first game of the season, moved the ball so methodically, and with just it was effortlessly. And then on defense, they just smothered the Rams. I haven't seen a team like this since the 16-0 New England Patriots, where it was like no matter what you did, Tom always had an answer. It didn't matter what the Rams did last night. Josh Allen always had an answer. He was two steps ahead of what the Rams thought they were trying to do. And if this game is any indication, not necessarily the Rams, because I think the Rams will rebound and they will be okay. But if this is any indication of what the Bills will look like, watch out, NFL.
So something that stood out to me, and I want to get into this in more detail a little later on, but I'm sitting there last night watching with Rick, mm-hmm. and especially in the second half, we all know that the Rams have deep threats. Cooper Kupp is a deep threat, and he caught a couple.
He's not necessarily a deep threat. He's what we talked about yesterday, and we get to more into that.
But he can hurt you. He can get yards on a yak guy, something like that. I noticed the Bills' defense, Derek, mm-hmm. was giving them, you know, the quick little 3 to 5 yard gains. Mm-hmm. Like, they were backing off enough that that's really all Stafford could get later mm-hmm. in the game was little 5 yard, 6 yard gains, and then anything beyond that, there was nothing. They were just smothering. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that too?
Yeah, I did. What defensive coordinators, the really, really good ones do, and that's why I go back to that, what was it, 2018? Was it the 2008 New England Patriots? 7 or 8, one of those years.
I think 07.
It might have been 07.
They went undefeated.
That's why I go back to that team, because what that team did from a defensive standpoint is they negated all big plays, and they didn't think that you were patient enough to take the 3-5 every time. They didn't believe you were, and it worked out for them. A lot of times teams just try to, you know, they have the 2 and the 3 and the 4 yarders, but teams couldn't, you know, stay the course. They always wanted to try to push the envelope and get the ball down the field. Buffalo doesn't think you have the patience to move the ball down the field. And then with them, they will give you that 2-yard catch, But what they do so well, what I saw last night, is they're tackling you at 4 yards. So now it's second and six. And then they believe in their pass rush so much that if they get a sack, now it goes back to now it goes from second and six to third and 10. And they don't believe you can get 10 yards on that defense. And they proved it last night. Not to say that that will continue throughout the whole season, but that, I believe, is their game plan, especially when you play a team like the Rams, who try to spread you out or who try to get you in these bunch formations where you can't play man-to-man. They play their zone. They play match zone sometimes, and then they just play zone, period. Yep. And they just don't believe that you have the patience to work the ball down the field, and it showed.
And what did I say at the beginning of training camp, as you start listening to these podcasts and people that are looking at the trends? That is the trend of how defense is played in the NFL, and the Bills might be the best at it. They're among the best at it, and that is you play back, you play the two safeties, play a lot of zone, and exactly what you said, right? Don't give up the big play and bank on you're not patient enough. You're going to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good pass rush. We'll get a sack, and we're going to put you in third and long, and then your drive is going to be over. Or worse, you turn the ball over. But it worked perfectly last night. The Titans changed to that last year. When they gave the reins to Shane Bowen after all of the hoopla, they started playing more two high safeties, less man-to-man coverage, and they played much, much better defense, especially because the pass rush came around. They got to hope that they can build on that this year. And speaking of that, who just got a big contract? The second safety, Amani Hooker, who became a really important player for them last year.
Amani Hooker, the Titans did announce this morning he's received a multi-year extension. 3 years is what it's being reported as, which I think this is a great move for the Titans and for Hooker to do this. 3-year contract extension with more than worth more than $33 million, because you get this done now and it's all taken care of. I think he's going to have a good year. I think this is a year where the rest of the league is going to go, oh, Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker, and Amani Hooker is going to be noticed. So for John Robinson, I think it was a big move to go ahead and get this done.
Well, that just shows you how important he is now in the scheme that they're playing. And it goes with another theme of, Derek, you've been watching closely, the young corners. They're relying on the young corners who are somewhat inexperienced, very inexperienced in some cases. But what happened last night? Who are the Bills' corners? One of them is a rookie who was a, what, first or second round pick? The guy that beat him out was a sixth round pick.
Yeah.
But they got the job done perfectly in the scheme because they're not asked to cover Cooper Kupp man-to-man. They have help. They play that whole shell, you know, where they're covered, right? It's a good scheme. It's a good way to protect and not exploit. There used to be a time it was like, man, I just remember Floyd Reese year after year saying, look, I'm picking corners. I want guys who can cover. I want guys who can cover. If I've got to move them to safety, I'll move them to safety. He didn't really like drafting safeties early. He said, you know, I'll evolve those guys into safeties if they can't cover. But now it seems like the safety is more important than it used to be, at least the way the game is being played right now. It's always going to change, right? There's going to be cycles and schemes. Somebody will come up with something that will make it tough on these defenses. But until that happens, safeties are important, and the idea is the young corners, you can protect them a little bit more.
Yeah, I think safeties are – they've become increasingly important. Now, it went in a phase because, you know, in the 80s and 90s, safeties were very important because they were like linebackers. You bring them down to the box, and that's your extra linebacker. And then now – then because the passing game evolved in, you know, in the 2000s, then – that safety wasn't as important in the box category because teams started spreading you out, started throwing the football. So what did they have to do? They had to have another corner. Well, now it's like, listen, these tight ends are basically just extensions of wide receivers. Now we got to have safeties that can truly cover, you know, cover tight ends, cover backs coming out of the backfield. So that second corner – I mean, that second safety, I don't even label them anymore as strong safety, free safety. I think that's gone. It's just your safety. The guy that, because both safeties have to be interchangeable. You know, one, if one can drop in a box, the other has to be able to drop in a box too. Hooker, if he goes in the middle of the field, because that's where, you know, Kevin Byer does a lot of his damage, you know, reading quarterback's eyes, you know, picking up on passes. If he's in a box, then Amani Hooker has to be able to do that job just as good or even better in that particular defense than Byer. Then on the flip side, if Byer goes in the middle of the field, then Hooker has to be able to control that box the way that Kevin Byer did.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we got some news out of Baltimore. You know, it's always interesting when you see a post from the official Twitter account that says, "Statement from General Manager Eric DaCosta." It says, quote, "Despite best efforts on both sides, we were unable to reach a contract extension with Lamar Jackson. We greatly appreciate how he has handled this process, and we are excited about our team with Lamar leading the way. We will continue to work towards a long-term contract after the season, but for now we're looking forward to a successful 22 campaign." Guys, he's gone, I think.
No, he's not going.
I think he's gone.
They're not going to let him get out of there.
No way.
What's going to happen is
just franchise tag him if you need to.
Yeah, they end up franchise tagging him for another year. But I think what Lamar wants to see is, because he's looking at, I'm guaranteeing you, he watched the game last night, and he's thinking like, man, you know, Josh Allen has Stephon Diggs. You know, Stafford has Cooper Kupp. They have tight ends. They have backs out the backfield and catch the ball. You know, I have Andrews, who's, you know, arguably a top three, you know, tight end, depending on who you talk to. He may be even number two. I have a tight end, but I don't have a bona fide, you know, number one wide receiver. Either someone's going to emerge this year for him, and that's going to make him sign that contract, or he's going to be more inclined to sign a contract, or he has to know that their number one priority is to get him some pass catchers, because that's the way the NFL is going. You got to have pass catchers, whether it be tight end, receiver, or running back. You got to have multiple pass catchers. And since Lamar's been there, they haven't had that on a consistent basis other than Andrews.
Yeah, and then they traded Hollywood.
Yeah, they traded him. So he's like, man, I got to see what this team's going to do, you know, if I, you know, before I sign this long-term deal that's going to keep me here for the rest of my career.
Yeah. Coming up next, we will talk to Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com, get his thoughts on Amani Hooker and also the matchup against the New York Giants as well. We're up and running here on a Friday. Chase, William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on a Friday. Have Eddie George coming up at 1 o'clock. Look forward to talking to him. But right now, we say hello to a man that covered Eddie George during his career. Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com, is on the line with us. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are doing fantastic. Maybe not as good as Titans safety Amani Hooker, who has gotten a contract extension, a much-deserved contract extension. How important was it for John Robinson to get this deal done now before the season, and now you know it's out of the way?
Well, I think it's certainly good. I mean, Amani, obviously one of these guys that's kind of an ascending, I think, in his young career and gotten better each season. His contract was due up after the season, and it's just one less thing they've got to worry about when this season ends. And I think quietly they've worked behind the scenes to try to get this deal done. There have been a handful of these over the years with, where a guy has a year left and you try to get it locked up before he becomes on the verge of hitting the market, and that's what happened here. So I think for Amani, I'm sure he appreciates the team kind of showing some good faith here, getting this thing done, where he doesn't have to worry about it. I think for the Titans, it's a good move because you keep a young guy, you know, with the team for several more years to come. And I think it was really a good development here before we kick off on Sunday.
Mike Vrabel said about Ryan Tannehill that he was decisive in camp. He liked the throws that he made. We've seen him, you know, really be vocal as a leader. And I know Ryan was asked the other day about turning the page from Cincinnati, if he, you know, if he still uses that as motivation. But Do you feel like there's a different edginess to Tannehill as he goes in to this week against the Giants for his first game since that playoff game?
Well, I think there is. I don't know whether he'd admit it or not, but I think, you know, he has clearly been bothered by what happened, by the way last season finished. And I think he's put, you know, some of that blame on himself. He's talked about just the pain and anguish he's had to deal with in getting over that loss. And it's no secret that that he was roundly criticized, not just by the media, but from the fan base. I mean, anytime he posts something on Instagram or Twitter, all you got to do is look at the comments, and you can see how it's gotten, how it sometimes gets nasty. And I'm sure he's aware of that. So I think he is dug in more. I think he does. I think an edge, having more of an edge is a good word, because I think it has made him dig in even more. I think he understands, you know, the pressure that he's under, and I expect him to be ready to go on Sunday when this season starts. Now, he has looked good this offseason. There's no doubt about it. I think he's been very accurate. I think he's shown really good leadership. I think he's had, you know, he has approached every practice, you know, and made it very important to him. But we can't ignore the fact, I mean, he's got a lot of new guys around him. I mean, from Robert Woods to Kyle Phillips to Treylon Burks to Austin Hooper to Chigakonkwo, two new stars on the offensive line. So, I mean, there's a lot of change that he's going to be dealing with, and he's going to have to manage that well starting on Sunday.
We're talking with Jim White, covering the Tennessee Titans, TennesseeTitans.com. Now, Jim, we saw last night the Buffalo Bills, their first-round pick wasn't a starter. It ended up being their sixth-round pick at corner. And now I look at this with the Tennessee Titans where, at least judging by the depth chart, they draft Farley, their number one pick a few years ago, and he ends up not starting in place of McQuarrie. Is it more so that McQuarrie outplayed him, or is it they don't believe that Farley is completely back from that injury?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because, we, you know, I think if you judge it based off the depth chart, I mean, you know, it looks like McQuarrie has the edge, and I'm not saying he doesn't. Mm-hmm. What I want to say is I think that maybe how these guys are utilized and how much play time they get and what the, you know, what things look like on Sunday, I think in large part could be dictated by matchups and the opponent and how the Titans want to defend. I mean, there's no question McQuarrie has hit the ground running when he got here, and that's why they picked him, you know, in the second round and why they picked him early. I know a lot of people were surprised by that pick. I think it was because he was a good player, but also I think they realized that, you know, Caleb Farley coming off a knee injury was maybe going to need some more time, and he just hasn't played a lot of football over the last couple of years. So I think it's probably a combination of the two, but also do think as the season goes on, I think you're going to see him utilized in different ways. And again, a lot of that's going to be dictated on who they're playing, how they want to defend, and really the health of other guys. I mean, what's going to be interesting is, and I know, you know, Molden hasn't practiced. We haven't seen him in a while. You know, I don't think things are looking good for him. But once he's back in the mix, then what happens? Because then you got more guys, and then you got to really start making some decisions on how you're going to use players.
Now, we didn't see much of the tight ends during the preseason in regards to catching a lot of passes. More importantly, we didn't see Hooper, you know, implemented to the offense much during preseason. Do you expect that to change moving forward, especially the first game of the season with the Giants?
I do. I mean, I know a lot of people that have been around, when conversations come up about who's going to lead the team in reception and who's going to make, you know, the biggest impact of the new guys, and I hear his name a lot, you know, as far as somebody who's going to be very productive for this team. And I think I've watched him, you know, throughout camp, you know, during these off-season practices, and really in practice, kind of leading up the season, just the extra time he spends with Ryan Tannehill. So I think those two guys could be on the same page, and I do think he's going to have a big impact right out of the gate.
Jimmy Wyatt is with us. Jim, we were just talking about, in the first segment, watching the Bills defensively last night run sort of the trendy defense perfectly last night. They play those two safeties, a lot of zone. They get the pressure with a good defensive line without a lot of help from blitzing. And that seems to be the way a lot of teams are going, including the Titans. But what's weird is you don't play a team like that on paper in the Giants. You've got the Wink Martindale who does throw a lot of blitzes at you. So kind of a curveball to start the season.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, that's the tough thing about week one is you never know what you're going to get. But I will say with Martindale, I mean, you have faced his defenses before. You kind of know what he's all about, and I'm sure he's going to be bringing a lot of pressure. He's going to give the Titans a lot of different looks. And this is a Titans team, as I mentioned earlier, that has so many new faces, and especially some of those guys on the offensive line, Aaron Brewer, you know, at left guard, and Nicholas Petit-Frere starting for the first time at right tackle. I mean, that's a challenge right out of the gate that the Titans are going to have to deal with. And I think the way you slow some of that down, obviously, is by being able to run the football. And I think that's got to be one of the keys on Sunday, is establishing, you know, the run game and then not having so much pressure on the passing game on third and long situations.
So what else do you see in terms of challenges that the Giants bring to the table? Jim, as you look at their situation, so much upheaval, new coach, new GM, some injuries up front, you know, questions at quarterback. Give me one thing that you think will be the key matchup on Sunday.
Well, I mean, I think from a defensive standpoint, I think you got to slow down Barkley. I mean, I think he is a really good young back, and obviously has something to prove. It had to deal with some injuries. I think stopping the run is key for the Titans. I think Daniel Jones is a little bit underrated as a quarterback, a guy, and underrated in some degree because he can take off and run himself. Titans got to keep them in check. I think from a defensive standpoint, I think that's the key. I mean, you can't allow Barkley in the run game to get going. And then flip it around the offense. We talked a little bit about this earlier. So many new faces for the Titans. You know, so many guys you're going to be counting on playing really for the first time with this team. And I think that's why it's important to be able to run the football and take some of the pressure off some of the guys that you're going to be leaning on this year.
Jim, looking forward to it this Sunday in Nissan Stadium. It'll be good to be back for a regular season game. Thanks as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you guys have a good weekend. Thank you.
Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. He's covered the team since they got here, now with the Titans, but going to be an interesting one. He brought up Barkley. Who has a bigger impact this weekend? Derrick Henry for the Titans, Saquon Barkley for the Giants. There's one national media member that gave an interesting take. You'll hear from him next on Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Ryan Johansson there, which is funny because Willie and I were just having a conversation about what ifs when it comes to sports. But back here, and we got our poll question up right now. You can go at 102.5, The Game on Twitter to vote for that. It's one of our Titans questions that we asked the other day. How many regular season wins will the Titans have this year? 8 or less? 9, 10, 11 or more? You can vote on that right now. The leader in the clubhouse at 52.6% is 10. 8.8% say 8 or less, 14% with 9, 24.6% say 11 or more. So a lot of people falling in with 10 wins right now.
And which is what I said, which yep. I think still could be good enough to win the division. But vote and then text us Y at 615-737-1025. I want to check in on this throughout the day. We've had some fun this week. We made our predictions on my 10 Titans' biggest questions going into the season earlier this week, and so we're taking them sort of one by one and floating them out there for a voters poll to see what the listeners think. So many questions heading in. Bills making a statement last night. That's the opponent for week two. Mm-hmm. But first things first, hopefully you can get off to a good start this week. But there's yep. always those games. I don't care what you're talking about, but especially in the first week, there's always those games that everybody kind of feels like they have a handle on that go completely different when the teams get on the field. And the Titans are hoping not to be a story there.
So this week, you know that both running backs are going to be a focal point for the offenses for the Titans and the Giants. And I heard this morning on ESPN Radio, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, their fine morning show. Max Kellerman had an interesting take on who will have a bigger impact, Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley will have a bigger impact on the Giants' opening game than Derrick Henry will for the Titans. That's where I'm going. That's a hot take right there.
Can I ask you why?
Well, Derrick Henry's had an enormous workload these, like, the last three, four seasons. Enormous workload. Running backs will tend to wear down. And Saquon can catch passes. He can do a lot of things. He's motivated. And to tell you the truth, I thought Saquon was probably the most valuable back his rookie year in the NFL, period. I thought he's probably the most valuable back. I expect him to be better than that this year.
Okay. So I'll give my thoughts in a second, but I'll start with you guys. Because Willie, he references something that you keep bringing up of the wear and tear on Derrick Henry.
Yeah, so I don't have any problem with the take, really. I'm not going to really lose any sleep over what Max Kellerman thinks, but he's giving an angle that is going to be an angle until it's not. We can talk about it all we want, but now it's going to go into action. We heard from Derrick Henry at the podium yesterday. He had to answer the questions again, which he does a great job of just getting through it, right? He knows they're coming.
Yeah, but you know
what?
There's
nothing he can say to reassure anybody. All he can say is, look, I go with the game plan. I'm confident in my ability. I feel good, and we'll go from there. The numbers are the numbers. He also can't get around the numbers.
Sure.
And when you look at the analytical numbers, there is an erosion of his efficiency. And that is a fact. That is not somebody's opinion. That's not somebody, whether it's Max Kellerman or me or anybody else. Those are the facts. But that doesn't mean that he can't be a really, really good running back from now. And then you've got the Saquon Barkley. I think it also illustrates how big the Saquon Barkley story is in a big media market like New York. Mm-hmm. This is a big prove-it year for him.
Yeah.
Well, is he talking about just for this game, or is he talking?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's referencing this game.
Well, if he's referencing this game, if Saquon is, you know, what Max believes he's going to be in this game, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not. I wouldn't be surprised if Derrick Henry is. It's a one-off. It's one game. Now, it's easy to say for one game, you know, Saquon Barkley will have a much bigger impact. It's easy to say that. Why? Because Saquon Barkley is when healthy, he's a damn good running back.
Right.
And Derrick Henry is too. So it's easy to throw a one off, but it's harder to say you can't convince me throughout a whole season that Saquon would have a bigger impact than Derrick Henry. I give Max the one off. It happens. Every boxer has his day. Every, you know, sprinter has his day. Every quarterback has their day where, you know, they just rise to the occasion or they play a great game. Josh Allen had a really good game last night. You know, the defense for the Rams had a really bad game, you know, last night. So if you want to throw one-offs, you know, that's cool because it could happen. Jalen Ramsey, I don't think he will ever have a game like he did last night.
He was not good last night.
He was bad last night. Do I expect Jalen Ramsey to have another bad game again? No, I don't. It was a one-off. So when Max says, hey, Saquon might have a bigger impact, it might happen, you know. But in the scheme of things, he can have a bigger impact, but then the Titans still win.
Sure.
You know?
I just think my takeaway from it was it's the narrative that Derrick Henry has just been running to the ground, and he doesn't think he's going to bounce back. And look, you know, Willie, we've talked about it time and time again. He could be right. That could be it. Like, Derrick, I think you listened to Derrick yesterday. I heard TD point this out this morning. Mm-hmm. He's very laid back. He's much more comfortable in those settings now. You can tell he's just like, hey, I'm in a good spot. I'm having fun. I'm ready to get going again. And it definitely seems a lot more comfortable than he has in the past when he's talking to the media and all of us. But he's put on a little weight, you know, gotten even bigger in a good way, I mean. Mm-hmm. And so I think from his standpoint, he's fine. He's ready. But, you know, you can have the right mindset. You can have all the heart in the world. The body's going to tell you what you are or you aren't.
You're
at
right.
At the end of the day.
And a lot of this, you know, stems from Derrick Henry and what people last saw of him. Just like Ryan Tannehill. What did we last see of Ryan Tannehill? That's why there were so many questions heading into the offseason, and there's still a few questions headed into the season in regards to Ryan Tannehill. Well, had Derrick Henry come out against Cincinnati, win or lose, had he come out and rushed for over 100 yards and just looked like the Derrick Henry of old, there would be no questions, none whatsoever. But because he came back and he didn't look good, now all of a sudden people, oh, he's done. Hell, the man didn't play for 9-10 games, and he was rusty. We talked about this yesterday. If we all took a month off, you know, and then came back, we would be rusty. I mean, Willie, you talk about it, you know, sure, all the time about, you know, being the Prince play-by-play on television. That first game, you're trying to work out the kinks.
That's right.
You know, so, but no one says, hey, Willie's done. He's logged
well,
in
they do,
five but, or six okay. years.
But hang on, along those lines, then, shouldn't we be concerned? Because Tannehill and Derrick Henry haven't played a game since the Cincinnati game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think you heard that right at the start of the broadcast last night with Chris Collinsworth, is both teams had elected not to play their stars in the preseason games. And, you know,
one team looked good and one team didn't.
That's right. The Bills came out, went right down the field and scored. So it really didn't impact them. They were very sharp. They did turn the ball over a few times. So you can say, you know, where did that come from? Well, both teams did. But I think, you know, the Bills don't have any regrets about how they approached the preseason. The weight thing is interesting to me on Derrick Henry. Why? Because I think he's pretty good at controlling his weight. Why did he decide?
He's on the TV now.
Why did he decide to put some pounds on? And is that going to help him? I'm curious how that plays out. I'd like to hear more about the decision to come in a little heavier. Because you know this, if he's not getting it done, people are going to ask that question. Like,
we need to ask Eddie. Eddie comes in at 1 o'clock.
I heard, you know, Ray Lewis say this when they were, you know, they put the whole thing together for Ray Lewis in many years, but they still play it off and on about he and Eddie and that whole rivalry they had. And he said, listen, I knew that after that 99 year going against Eddie, I had to put on some more pounds. I had to, because this guy is a battering ram. I can't physically go and get some every day at the weight that I am at, every game at the weight that I'm at. So what did he do? He put on weight. Did that slow Ray Lewis down? And Ray Lewis has had injuries. Did that slow him down? No. He understood how to play with that weight. Derrick Henry putting on a few muscle pounds. Stop it, people. This is not a story. That is not a story whatsoever. He understands as he gets older and the more pounding he takes, he needs to be a little bit bigger and stronger. You know, if Derrick Henry comes out, I promise you this, if Derrick Henry comes out and rushes for 120 yards, the narrative will be he's back. He is back. The king is back. Whereas 3 days ago, the narrative was, we don't know. Too many carries. Yeah. You see how quick we change when things happen opposite of what we thought was going to happen? You know?
Absolutely. 100%.
So I'm just waiting on that. Derrick Henry have over 120 yards in the game,
well,
a touchdown or two. I guarantee you the national narrative will be he's back.
Well, you're going to bring that up at 12 o'clock because Max Kellerman's going to join the show at 12 o'clock today.
I just got word on that. And I will ask him that
question. He's got a few minutes. Uh-huh. He's got a few minutes. He's going to join us and talk about his comments this morning. Coming up next, we always play the where is a team compared to the champion card. Mm-hmm. So where do we think the Titans defensively are compared to that Bills offense? We will discuss that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
With him being a part of that front four that was so good at, you know, getting that pressure without having to blitz, like, how are you going to be able to maintain that? What makes you feel the guys left over can still do that, you know, get that pressure?
Yeah, I think we've seen those guys, the guys behind Harold, the Olas, the Weavers, David, right? Like, we've seen those guys go in there and rush and win some one-on-ones, right? And then ultimately, when there's schematic things that we do, they just got to be able to go out and execute. But, I mean, we have full confidence in those guys' ability to rush. And, again, you still got Bud, DeNico, obviously Jeff, possibly Walker, right? Like, you got some pieces in there. So, I mean, it's one guy. We got to be able to pick up the slack, and hopefully those guys make the most of their opportunities.
Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen yesterday talking about his squad as they get ready to open their season against the New York Giants. Back here, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Joe Dubin going to join us at 11 to preview night of high school football. We'll also have Ask D-Mace today at 12:30. So you want to get your questions ready for him. As I mentioned, Max Kellerman going to join us for a few minutes at noon, and Eddie George at 1 o'clock. But we always play the, you know, I'll tie the two of the teams in town together. We've played the game with the Predators as they went through their offseason and had a very good offseason, a busy offseason, and I believe going into this season the team has improved. But where do they stack up against Colorado? Because obviously that is the standard in the NHL right now. I think even though it's one game, a lot of people, including some of us, pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl and feel that the Bills are the best team in the NFL. So after watching Josh Allen lead that offense last night, I asked myself, where do I feel like the Titans and the defense specifically stack up against that Bills offense, which they're going to see in week two of Monday Night Football? Indy Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said last night showed why teams like the Titans and even my Colts are a ways away from being a serious Super Bowl contender. You have to have a top 10 QB and top quality weapons around them. So where do you guys stack the Titans, even though you haven't seen them play a game yet, against a team like the Bills that everybody is picking to win the Super Bowl?
I mean, it's the same as before the Bills played. You know, if you look at just the AFC, Titans will be considered, the fifth or sixth best team in the AFC. And that was even before the Bills played. You know, you had Buffalo in front of them. I mean, he had Denver, Kansas City. Well, hell, the whole AFC West. And then the Bills, that's five teams. And then Cincinnati, that's six. So the Titans hovered around possibly the fifth, sixth, or seventh best team in AFC. After last night, it doesn't change anything for me. They're still the fifth or sixth best team. Now, what it does tell me is that, you know, the Bills, even with their turnovers, they have the ability to overcome them offensively and defensively. And if it continues to go that way, they are going to be hell to deal with for any team in the National Football League. So teams look at Buffalo and going into their first game, and they're thinking like, man, we need to, if, you know, especially if we're one of the favorites, like the Raiders, Kansas City, the Chargers, Cincinnati, they got to show the world, even on the first game, they got to show the world that, hey, we're closer to Buffalo than what many are believing. It's just not a sure thing that Buffalo is going to win the Super Bowl. They need to come out first game of the season and show that they're ready to go. Because beside the four, you know, the turnovers, which two of them wasn't Josh Allen's fault.
Yeah.
Buffalo came out as if they had already played like three games.
Oh, yeah.
And they're ready to go. So it doesn't change anything for me, Willie.
I'm with you on that. I think the section of the question to me that's pretty intriguing is just in general, are the Titans a better team this year than they were last year? Because most people on the outside say no, based on the predictions, based on the over-under in Vegas. So if you're not better than you were last year, can you be good enough to stack up with the best in a really deep AFC. I think that's the challenge this year. They have to prove that they're better than they were last year, because on paper, most people don't think that they are. I think a lot has to go right for that to be the case.
Sean Henry has weighed in with his prediction, which, you know, this is a big one for him.
Was 38-9 in there somewhere?
38-9 is the final score.
That's what he has
picked. However, he didn't say, he just said my big blue versus my two-tone blue.
Oh.
Yes.
Final score 38-9.
So he's sort of straddling the fence right here. Uh-huh. He's not really giving you who's going to win. He's just picking the score.
Is Sean Henry going to attend the game? That's what I want to know. If the president will be in attendance. I would say, if I was a betting man, which I am, yes.
He will.
He will.
I think he has. If he, because he can't come in into the stadium with a Giants jersey. But
he has the out since he's the president of a team. He could just wear Pred stuff and actually get away with it.
He could wear Pred stuff, but I think underneath the Pred stuff is going to be that Giant love under there. It's going to be there.
He could do the split jersey, the split Giants jersey and the Titans jersey.
Sold them together?
Yeah.
Do you guys know anybody that's done that? I see those come out every now and then, somebody who's sewn two jerseys together.
Should we press them to make a prediction?
I think Sean needs to actually
He needs to pick a side, yeah. I think he needs to pick a side. What do you say, Willie?
I don't know. I don't know.
Come on, Coach Willie. You got to put his feet to the fire.
Look, Sean knows the number. He can go
exactly.
If he wants to make a prediction.
Let me throw this at you guys, though. The Bills certainly look like they're better than last year, and they were really good last year. Are the Titans better than they were last year? Can they be better than they were last year?
I think you just said the key word, can. Mm. I don't know. I mean, I think there is more potential for this group to be better than last year's group, because, and the reason I say that is, you hope you're going to get more out of Woods, Treylon Burks, the whole receiver core, and actually have a point where your top two guys are on the field at the same time. You didn't have that last year.
I do think that's a really good area to look at.
And you're going to hope that Henry stays healthy.
Even though they don't have A.J. Brown, could their receivers overall be better than last year? I think yes, for all the reasons that we talked about last year, how much of a struggle it was with injuries and et cetera.
It's not, to me, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, are they better than last year? To me is, do they make the same mistakes they made last year? You know, because if this team doesn't make the same mistakes they made last year, you know, i.e. Tannehill, and there were some other situations, but that other guys made mistakes. But if this team doesn't make the same mistakes, then I think they put themselves in a position to make a run at the Super Bowl. Because it's not necessarily...
Yeah. Listen, well, they were the one seed with all their flaws last year.
It's not necessarily... Because sometimes you could be better and still end up with a worse record.
Absolutely, you know? That can happen.
I think for them is, can they capitalize on mistakes teams make, and can they not make the same mistakes that they did last year?
Ron says, I'd rather see them, the Bills, week 2 than week 12 or 13. I do agree with that. Even though they looked really good last night, you'd rather get them earlier in the year.
Nah.
No, you don't.
I would rather get them later in the year because potentially there's an injury or two.
True.
So I wouldn't want to play the Bills today.
Gil Beverly, who is the Titans' chief marketing and revenue officer, has responded to Sean Henry, said, I see what you did there, and I trust you will do the right thing on Sunday. Winky face.
Somebody's putting his feet to the flames.
I like it. Coming up next, we'll talk some high school football. Joe Dubin going to join the show. One half of the game blitz, but first, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, will do, and don't forget to keep voting on our question of the day on Twitter, at 1025 The Game. How many regular season wins will the Titans have this season? You've got four choices. Weigh in, and then you can text us if you want to provide some detail at 615-737-1025. How many regular season wins will the Titans have this season? So far, over half of you have selected exactly 10, 54%. Of the voters say exactly 10 wins for the Titans this year. All right, let's tell you about QC Kinetics. If the summer is winding down and it's been a tough summer for you, and you've had trouble staying active because of joint pain, I want you to look into the folks at QC Kinetics because they're right here and they're ready to take your phone call with a free consultation. If you haven't learned about the regenerative treatments that QC Kinetics is offering, then learn more about it with one simple phone call at 615-249-4024. Highly concentrated healing properties from your own body that restore and repair the damaged joint tissue. And QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in this exciting breakthrough approach. It's all natural, and it eliminates the joint pain long term. So don't just go under the assumption that the old ways of dealing with joint pain are the only ways. Check out this cutting-edge stuff. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.